Greetings in Jesus' precious name this morning. It's a blessing to be gathered in the house of God together. And I want to thank Keith for that devotions. I just thought it interesting how he talks about the helmet of salvation and also the breastplate of righteousness. And the thought just struck me how, you know, salvation and righteousness, protecting the two vital parts of a man, of your life, the very vital parts of a person, and the importance of wearing the whole armor is so important in our lives. You know, somehow we think that we can get away with being half prepared for God. And yet, it catches up with us every time. I'd like to look at the thought of carelessness this morning in one's life, the sin of carelessness. You can turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 20. We have here King Ahab and his carelessness to follow orders of God and what it costs him. And then I want to look at a number of areas of carelessness that we can have in our lives as we live our life. I'm going to start reading at verse 35. This was after, actually let's break in before that. Let's go back to he was told, they were told to destroy the Assyrian army, and the Assyrians sent, they wanted to fight Israel in the valley, because they were, you know, they said that the Israelites' God is the God of the hills, and you know, well, if we get them in the valley, we'll be able to defeat them. And so that was their goal, and God said, because I'm going to just give them to you, destroy them, get rid of them, and they're gonna realize that I am also a God of the valleys. And so that's what was happening here. But we have the king of Assyria escaping. Okay, verse 28 says, "And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, Because the Assyrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. So it was that in the 7 days the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew the Assyrians 100,000 footmen in one day. But the rest fled to Aphek in the city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city in an inner chamber. And his servant said unto him, Behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put on sackcloth on our loins and ropes upon our heads and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure he will save thy life. So they girded sackcloth on their loins and put ropes on their heads, and came to the king of Israel, and said, Thy servant Ben-Hadad saith, I pray thee, let me live. And he saith, Is he yet alive? He is my brother. Now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from it, and did hastily catch it. And they said, Thy brother Ben-Hadad. And they appealed to him on the brother basis. And they said, Then he said, Go ye, bring him. Then Ben-Hadad came forth to him, and he caused him to come up into the chariot. And Ben-Hadad said unto him, The cities which my father took from thy father I will restore, and thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria. Then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. So he made a covenant with him and sent him away. And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor, In the word of the Lord, smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. Then said he unto him, because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. Then he found another man and said, smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him, so that in smiting he wounded him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, thy servant went out into the midst of battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me, and said, keep this man, and if by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be, thyself hath decided it. And he hasted and took his ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned that he was a prophet. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I have appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. A disobedience to do what God has commanded him to do. Failure to obey God's exact commands will always bring consequences, will always bring a detriment to one's life. And that's what we see here. King Ahab was to destroy everybody, but yet he allowed this man, Ben-Hadad, to his servants, to persuade him to let this man live. Another thing I think we can see here is that the enemy will go to any extent to find some way to make us let down our guard. We find them appealing to him. First of all, they say that, well, the kings of Israel are merciful kings. Let's go to them and let's try to let's appeal to them and let's try to get them to let down their guards. They went looking very sorrowful, very pitiful. We find them having they said they put ropes on their heads, and it's what that actually meant was they were actually showing to the king or giving the king opportunity to hang them with those ropes. Like, that was the kind of the idea of the ropes, and the sackcloth was kind of a, very sorrowful appearance. But we see how they appealed to him. Where was that? Says they go, and the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him, and did hastily catch it. And they said, thy brother Ben-Hadad. King Ahab said, he is my brother. And he said, my brother Ben-Hadad. And they appealed to him on that basis. And they got him to let down his guard and to disobey God because of it. To Ahab, the consequences was death and the loss of his kingdom. It was total defeat. Also, we find there in the beginning of that, it talks about the servant or the man who would not smite the prophet. He says, because you disobeyed the word of God, you are going to, as soon as you leave, you're going to be killed by a lion. Just a picture of disobedience. Now, thinking about carelessness and how easy it is, and I felt like the devotions was a good introduction to what we'd like to talk about this morning, because carelessness in the Christian life can happen so easily, and it can happen so quickly in our lives. We can become caught up in life, and we can forget about the armor that we should be wearing. We can forget about, and we can become careless in our everyday life, in our everyday activities. first of all, I'd like to look at three areas this morning, and that is we can carelessness in our Christian experience, and then carelessness in our community life, and also carelessness in our church life. In those three areas, I have a couple points under each one. But thinking about carelessness in our Christian life, and carelessness in the study of the Word of God. And you know, even amidst the busyness of life, even amidst the challenge of life, carelessness to fail to study the Word of God will produce defeat. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, Testament chapter 3. Second Timothy 3:16 and 17 say this. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And also, First Timothy chapter 1, verse 11 says this. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul was talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has given us his gospel. He has given us his word. And we are expected to, he is entrusted to us to, for our study, for our inspiration, for our, to show us what we need. There was the verse I wanted. I couldn't find it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. One thing the study of God's word does is it brings God's approval on one's life. Study in the Word of God brings God's approval on one's life. It shows us how to live. It shows us what we need to do. It shows us the life we need to live. You know, there are laws that govern earth life. There are laws that are set in order in earth. But God has laws and God has his word and he has a way that we need to live. And we will not know that unless we are willing to study, unless we are willing to dig into the scripture and to understand the scriptures, or try to understand, dig into it and study it. Also, another way carelessness can happen is I think we need to be careful with the Word of God. I think we need to teach our children carefulness for the Word of God. As parents, we need to teach our children that the Bible is a book that we care about. The Bible is a book that we take good care of and that we treat with respect. It's just paper and it's just with a cover on it. But it contains the Word of God. And we do well to teach to the next generation carefulness for the Word of God and the importance of reading and studying it. And how will they know that unless we do it ourselves? Showing ourselves approved unto God takes effort. It's not just something, study isn't something you just, you know, it's more than just a personal devotions. Study is more than just a few minutes a day. Study is something where you dig deeper than just reading the scripture for inspiration for that day. Also, we find we can have carelessness in our prayer life. Philippians chapter 4. We have verses 4 to 6. It says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." It also says, pray without ceasing, a constant attitude of prayer, a willingness to surrender my will to God's will. Be willing to change in your life because God's will is different than your will. Be willing to do or to go somewhere else because God has showed you otherwise. Being willing to do that. Also in Philippians 3, verse 7 to 11, also the carelessness in self-discipline. Verse 7 says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." Paul was willing to lay down. He was willing to discipline his life for the sake of Christ. He was willing to discipline his own desires, his own things. He was willing to focus on God. And that's what we need to do. Also, secondly, looking at carelessness in our community life. Carelessness in our deeds. You know, as we move about our workplace, as we move about life from day to day, throughout our week, are we careful about obeying the laws of the land? Does it really matter? Are people really watching me? Do they really see what I'm doing? I believe it does. You know, as we move about life, they say the world knows better how Christians should live than you do yourself. And I believe that they are watching us. They watch what we do and what we say. Somebody is watching you. And if no one is watching, there's a God that sees and a God that knows. He sees it all. Also, in our speech, the words we use, I think is another area that we need to be careful with. And this goes far more than just you know, throughout our work week, but throughout our life and the words that we use. Are we careless about the words we use? Do we not care? Are we willing to just use bywords and swear words just for the anyhow? But what are we saying in our life? Do we hear ourselves? Psalms 19, verse 14 says this, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And then also in Proverbs 16. We have another verse. Proverbs 16, verse 13. Says this, "Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right." Is the stuff that proceeds from our mouth righteous? Is it holy? Is it God-honoring? We need to ask ourselves those questions. I believe even we need to live a disciplined life, as we talked about earlier. Even everywhere we go and whatever we do, a disciplined life points to Christ. One who is disciplined to his life, to love the Lord, to care about God and his word, will show forth in his life. And also, I think another area is our dress. And here again, this is more than just our everyday life. Is it okay to follow fads? You know, our world has a dress standard. They have a way that they dress. Fads change. They come and go. Things change. Is it okay to follow them? Is it okay to have a set of clothes for your two different standards of living? Do we have two different standards of living? Do I act this way here and act that way here? Is my life saying one thing here and says another thing over here? Depending who or what or how I'm talking to. What kind of life do I live? Also, carelessness about church life or in church life. You know, we come to church from Sunday to Sunday and we worship God, but do we? The Bible says that some will be taken and some will be left. And as we think about that and the seriousness of that, carelessness in church life can lead to spiritual ruin. How about carelessness in attendance, church attendance? Is it okay to be chronically late for church? Is it okay to miss services on a regular basis? Then we have the other side of that that says, you know, what's my reason for attending? What's my reason for being at church? Is it for the show? Is it so that everybody, you know, is it so that I can look good, so that people don't question my life? We can be at church for the wrong reasons. But you know, when the doors of church are open, are we willing to be there to worship God? God says those who worship him in spirit and in truth must worship him in spirit and in truth. I believe that sometimes in our life we can get a careless attitude about worship, and we can get a careless attitude about attending church. How about carelessness in our attitude? And I believe this one comes pretty close home to every one of us. We all have our opinions and our ideas and our ways. You know, we have the attitude of over self-importance, and we have the attitude of under self-importance. The attitude of over self-importance says, it's all about me. I need to be able to say my piece. It needs to be my way. It needs to be the way. There's only one way. And the under self-importance says, I don't matter. Why would I be there? But you know, a brotherhood is about getting together and talking about things and discussing things and coming to a resolution together and then moving on. Being able to trust our brothers and sisters to to make wise action to move in church life. You know, careless about our attention in church. You know, sometimes we can come to church and we can sit there and your mind or your heart can be 1,000 miles away. Do we come to worship God or do we come because it's a thing to do? It comes back to that attendance thing. You know, am I careless about the attention that I give to my church? Am I careless? Do I care? Am I willing to come to worship God and to worship God only? Or is my life many miles away? You know, as adults, as parents, carelessness in our life. I think about the rising generation of children and the effect that carelessness in one's life will have on one's children. Are we teaching our children the carefulness of life, the carefulness of the Word of God? Are we teaching them, you know, what kind of interest do we, how much effort do we involve ourselves in being interested in our children's lives as parents? Are we interested in the music they listen to? Are we interested in the material they read? Are we interested in, you know, even as little children, even the manners they use? Respect. You know, teaching our children respect for authority, teaching our children respect for those that are older than them. Doesn't matter really who it is. Do we teach them that? How much effort are we willing to put out to learn to know our children? Because they are the church that are going to be tomorrow. They are the ones, and even as youth, you know, those who follow you are going to watch your life and pattern your life, their life, after your life. Do we see that? Do we care about that? And do we, God asks us to care about one another. And you know, we can make such a difference in how others live if we are willing to just turn around and simply help those who are following us. And I just challenge us this morning that we do that. In our own life, that we would use carefulness, great carefulness, but not only that, but that we would turn around and we would help those that are following us.